So, for the next few weeks, we are going to be walking through a series of messages that we entitled Desert Wanderings, Exploring Questions of Faith. And it is your questions that will be the source material for this series. So we've received some through the online portal that we provided through some various means. You can always go to the Trinity website and access it there. But tonight, I'm going to give you another opportunity to submit your questions, so it's not too late. You can keep submitting. So in your bulletin, there was a connection card. I hope you already took a moment to let us know you were here for worship tonight, because a little bit later, during the time of offering, you can place these in the offering plates. But I'm going to invite you also on the back, if you have a question that you would like for us to add to the mix for consideration, please do that. We'd love to know what your questions are, what you struggle with when it comes to faith, when it comes to understanding God, the Holy Spirit, Jesus, wrestlings that you have about the life of a follower of Jesus. So anyway, feel free to put those on your connection cards tonight, and then we will sort through those and add them to our bowl, which at the end of each service for the next few weeks, we will invite one of you to randomly draw one of the slips of paper from this bowl, and that will become the focus question for the following week's message. So don't let me forget, before I do the lesson tonight, to have somebody take this bowl and draw a question out, all right? So that's where we are with this season of Lent and the next few weeks of worship in here. And tonight's question, I got to just pick. So this was the one that I actually got to pick ahead of time and not be a random draw, since I had an opportunity to look at the ones that you all had submitted. And so the question we're going to look at tonight is this: how can the Bible help us deal with the stress of living in the modern world? So in looking at that question, I have selected a text from the prophet Isaiah, and it's on the back of your bulletin, so if you'd like to follow along when I read, feel free to do so, and I'll be reading from the CEB, the Common English Bible version. So here are these words from Isaiah 55. All of you who are thirsty, come to the water. Whoever has no money, come, buy food and eat. Without money at no cost, buy wine and milk. Why spend money for what isn't food and your earnings for what doesn't satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good. Enjoy the richest of feasts. Seek the Lord when he can still be found. Call him while he is yet near. Let the wicked abandon their ways and the sinful their schemes. Let them return to the Lord so that he may have mercy on them, to our God, because he is generous with forgiveness. My plans aren't your plans, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. Just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my plans than your plans. Just as the rain and the snow come down from the sky and don't return there without watering the earth, making it conceive and yield plants and providing seed to the sower and food to the eater, so is my word that comes from my mouth. It does not return to me empty. Instead, it does what I want and accomplishes what I intend. Word of God for the people of God. And God's people say, thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? Come, Holy Spirit, and breathe life into the words of this servant, that they might carry a word from you into our hearts and lives on this night. Amen. So when I first got this question and looked at it for tonight, one thing that my mind went back to was a Bible that I used a number of years ago that in the back had a topical index. Anybody else have one of those or had one of those in the past? You know, so I could go to that topical index, and let's say I was feeling like I needed to hear something or read something about forgiveness, or about anger, or about salvation, or whatever, grace, whatever it might be. I could go to that index, And there was a handy reference to a number of verses that I could flip to and be able to look at. And it was fantastic. It was a great way, especially for someone who might not know how to find some different things in the Bible, to be able to have a quick reference guide and be able to go to places where I might find some words that would help me in those days. Now, these days, of course, you don't have to have a topical index in the back. You can simply type in google.com and go to one of the Bible study tools, resources online, and find something there, and get a whole lot of information about where you can find verses about different subject matters. So one answer to tonight's question could be to simply say, go do that, have at it, and you can have all the information you want. And that wouldn't necessarily be a bad thing. In fact, at times that can be a very helpful thing. Doing topical studies can be informative, it can be a way to learn and to grow. What I want to suggest to you tonight, though, is that that is primarily a reactive approach to reading the Bible. And when it comes to the big picture of this question for me, of how can the Bible help us deal with the stress of living in the modern world, I want to suggest for us tonight that we take a proactive approach to reading Scripture. An approach that says, you know what, on a regular, ongoing basis, it is important for me to be investing time in reading the Bible. Because when I invest that time on an ongoing basis, it will benefit me, it will benefit you in ways that we can't even imagine. But that steady time, that steady practice of reading Scripture and spending time with it is good for us. I was thinking about a possible analogy for this, and one that came to mind was a concert pianist. And when a concert pianist is about to have the performance of her life, she doesn't get great at preparing for that performance by cramming in the last few hours or days or even weeks, right? The reason that she can do what she can in that moment is because she's been practicing a lifetime and doing scales and doing other exercises that have prepared her for that moment. And so I want to suggest that that is a way for us to think about how we approach the Bible, that we spend time with it regularly so that when those times come, when those key moments come in our lives, opportunities, challenges, struggles, we have been prepared by a lifetime of learning and a lifetime of studying that helps us respond in the moment, having taken a proactive approach. Richard Foster wrote a book entitled Life with God that is about reading and studying the Bible for formation. And he says this in the opening comments to the book. He says, too often, our study of the Bible focuses on searching for specific information or some formula that will solve our pressing needs of the moment. Right? We do that with prayer too, don't we? I need help right now, God, with this particular thing at this moment. Never mind what I have or haven't done, you know, to help me get ready for this moment. I just want you to help me right now in this moment. And Foster goes on and says, but what if we approached the Bible differently? And instead of transforming the text, the Scripture, to meet our needs, we allow it to transform us. So tonight, I want to suggest seven ways. I'm going to shift this way just a little bit. So I don't keep going in and out of that sun. I'm going to suggest seven ways in which taking this kind of approach to Scripture will benefit us, and seven ways that can help us do that. So the first way in which taking this proactive approach helps us is that we establish a daily rhythm, and that the rhythm itself can be one of the things that combats stress and anxieties that we feel. Simply getting into the daily rhythm of spending time in Scripture does something to us and for us, and it helps set the day. Now, for me, the best way to do that is to do it in the morning. That may not be the best for everybody, but each person has to find that rhythm and that time for themselves. I would suggest that as much as possible, consistency is a very helpful practice And so doing it at the same time each day, whatever time that is for you. And then just by setting that rhythm, you will find benefit in terms of how it helps reduce the anxiety or the stress that you might feel about whatever is happening in a day or a week. The second thing about taking this proactive approach to Scripture is that it helps us decide what is going to get attention in our lives. You see, if we let it, whatever it is that causes stress and anxiety will want to get our attention and will seek to claim our attention. But when we spend time in Scripture on a daily basis, we have an opportunity to let something else perhaps get our attention and let God speak a word to us in that time with Scripture that allows us to focus our attention on something better. So just this past weekend, Catherine and I were with our son and our daughter and her husband, and we were watching college basketball. We were watching our alma mater, Furman, and Sid's current school, Mercer, play in the Southern Conference Tournament. And there were a couple of guys sitting close to us who seemed more concerned about the refereeing of the game than the game itself. So at one point during the game, I noticed that this one guy got upset with one call that happened relatively early in the game. And for the rest of the game, I think he missed a lot of the game itself because he was so focused on watching the referee and trying to get the referee to hear him complaining about the call that he made way earlier in the game. Sometimes our anxieties, our worries, our stresses can become magnified because we let them. And feed on that stress and that worry. And by spending time in Scripture on a daily basis, it brings us back to something that helps center us, that grounds us in a healthier way. Number three, reading Scripture on a regular basis helps us widen the lens. And what I mean by that is this. When we start looking through the pages of the Bible, we realize that the struggles and the challenges that we thought maybe were unique to us or perhaps are unique to the 21st century or the time we're living in now really aren't that unique at all. In the pages of Scripture, we read about the challenges and the struggles of dealing with things like poverty and war and violence and temptation. And lots of the things that we are dealing with today, we can look at the pages of Scripture and see that across the span of time, human beings have wrestled with these challenges. As the author of Ecclesiastes says, there is nothing new under the sun. Everything that has happened will happen again. And so by widening that lens, it does a couple of things for us. It expands our perspective so we're not so myopic on what's happening in our world. And also sometimes, quite honestly, it's just nice to know that we're in company with others, isn't it? That at least we're not alone in having to deal with the challenges and the struggles and the stresses of life. The fourth thing about reading Scripture on a regular basis that can help us with this is that it builds our relationship with God. Quality time, we all know this, is important for the health and well-being of any relationship. Right? You need to spend quality time with the people that you want to be in relationship with. And one of the things that happens when you do is that you feel more secure in that relationship. And the same is true of our relationship with God. When we spend time in Scripture, we are building and strengthening a relationship with God that reduces our anxiety about life events because we trust that while God might not fix it all, and God might not solve everything that we're dealing with, we don't have to expect everything to go away as a struggle, but we can know and trust in God's care for us in all times and in all circumstances. Number five is that regular practice of reading Scripture can help us live with hope. And that really is a kind of natural outgrowing of number four. Because as we deepen that relationship, as we feel more secure, then we are naturally more likely something to feel more hopeful. And there are numerous examples from the Bible as we start to read through it where things seem to be impossible, where it seems like there is no hope for a person or for an entire country, for the people of Israel, right? They struggle sometimes thinking, God, why is this happening? There is no hope for us. And yet what we see time and time again is that God makes a way. God makes a way for God's people. Again, not necessarily fixing every problem or every challenge that we have, but we know that God is there with us and that because of that, there is hope for us. The sixth thing is that when we read the Bible, when we read it regularly, things start to stick in our brains. We start to remember things that we have read and remember things that we have heard. And it allows us to go back to those things and recall them. And they can offer us comfort and assurance and courage when we need it. Now, I want to suggest that memorizing the verses can be a great way to do this and to help us recall things. But it's not just about memorization. And some are better than others at being able to hold on to information in that kind of way. But even when we don't memorize, just a regular reading of Scripture does familiarize us with what the Bible has to say to us about a whole host of things. And it also familiarizes us with the places in the Bible where we can then go back to on our own, because we'll remember, oh yeah, I can't remember exactly what it said, but I remember I read it in the letter to the Philippians, and so let me go back and find it again so that I can read it. Or that might be one of those great moments where you use BibleStudyTools.com. You go on and say, put in a few keywords, and then voila, you find it that way. One of the things, a number of years ago, Catherine and I went to Brazil for the World Methodist Conference. And while we were there, we had the opportunity to visit an orphanage that was run by the Methodist Church in Brazil. And it was there that we met Iris, who became like a part of our family to us. And at the time, she was a 14-year-old girl living with roommates in the orphanage. And I'll never forget walking into her room because she wanted to show it to us. And when we walked into her room with her, all around the room, on the walls, were pieces of construction paper where she had taken markers and written verses of Scripture. And so she had surrounded herself with words of encouragement and words of comfort and words of promise. So that God could constantly be speaking those over her life as a young girl seeking to find hope out of what had been a desperate situation for her as a child. Thanks, Dick.
Today's her birthday?
Yes, and I meant to say that. And today is actually her birthday. She is 37 years old today. Lastly, number seven, reading the Bible changes us. Foster references that in the opening remarks that I shared, and I think this is a key pivotal point for us, that when we come to the Bible, we come prepared not so much for the Bible or for God to fix the things that are going on, to change things for us, but rather that our primary hope should be that God does a work in and on us. Because we may not be able to always change the circumstances or the conditions that we find ourselves in. Often we cannot. But we can be different ourselves. So one more quote from Foster. He says, transformation, that work of change, transformation takes place as we discover that in surrendering to how God chooses to speak through the Scriptures. Get this now. Let's move right back to tonight's question. We are no longer so attached to our concerns and our anxious needs. I could have just let Foster address the question. It's a pretty good job of that with God. A book I highly recommend. The end of the scripture tonight, in that chapter from Isaiah, it is, we hear the voice of God calling out, and in
inviting people to draw near. All who are thirsty, all who are hungry, come near because I have something for you, God said. I have something good for you. And then when we get to the end of that passage, it says, my word goes out, and it does not return empty-handed. That is the promise to us when we invest time in spending it with God through our reading of Scripture. That the word that goes out from God, the word that we are invited to receive, does not go back empty-handed. It is a word that gives life. It is a word that enables us to live life more joyfully and more abundantly. And for that we say, thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? Oh God, we give you thanks for wonderful words of life that come to us through the pages of Scripture. And we give you thanks especially for the living word of Jesus, who placed that word into action and revealed for us what it looked like to live in constant communion and in right relationship with you. Help us in our attempts and in our desire to follow in his footsteps and to draw near to you ourselves. Help us to find a rhythm that is pleasing to you and pleasing for our hearts and for our souls. In Christ's name we pray.